Today's reading is from the book of Proverbs, verses 1 through 4, and 15, 16, and 22. This is God's word. The Proverbs of Solomon: a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. The wage of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it.
All right, here we go. I always forget to turn on the mic sometimes. So, good morning, Midtown Church. My name is Anderson Shore, and just a little bit about me. You can actually find some of it in the bulletin, but I'm here this morning with my wife, Carrie, and our two girls, and we're expecting another little one to arrive sometime in mid-August. We're officially going from man to man to zone, and I'm nervous. I'll just say that, I'm nervous. But I'm thankful to be here this morning to preach from God's Word, and also grateful for the partnership that Christ the King, where I work, has with Midtown. To have the mutual love for Jesus and the desire for his name to be made famous, it's awesome. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for just loving Jesus and being a presence of him in the city of Raleigh. And also thank you for the opportunity for me to preach here today. It is a gift to me. You know, I've been following along the Proverbs series that y'all are going through this summer. And, you know, I've always thought about Proverbs as just fortune cookies of wisdom. But it was helpful to hear Pastor Lindsay say that if we follow what the Proverbs teach, then life will be better for this side of heaven. And today we will look at God's Word and see how we can approach the topic of wealth on this side of heaven. You know, I believe recently you heard about the topic of money from the pulpit, but for the amount of times that Jesus talks about money, I believe the church needs to talk more and more about it. About what our relationship with money is like, what wealth is like, and how we approach it. And recently, money has been on the forefront of our minds, right? I mean, gas prices, inflation, possible recession, retirement, kids' college education, which house project to do, which trip to take, dinner, housing that we can afford. The list goes on and on. But for the amount of ways that money enters into our lives and into our minds, it's uncomfortable to talk about it, right? I don't know who they are, but they say that most arguments in marriage are about sex and money. So Eric, thanks for taking sex last week. And as the visitor today, I'll go ahead and take the other one. It's really great timing, Lindsay. There's a discomfort, though, around the topic of wealth and money. All I have to do is ask someone if I can take a look at their budget, and that produces a little bit of awkwardness in the relationship. But today, we get to answer some of the questions that money is asking us in our day-to-day lives, and then address our hearts with what God's Word has to say about wealth. And at the end of the sermon, I hope, and I've been praying for all of us this week, that we will see that true wealth doesn't depend about the amount of money in our bank accounts, but it's that true wealth comes from the abundance of what is given to us. True wealth comes from the abundance of what is given to us. You should be able to see in your bulletin the 3 points for today: the good life now, the good life later, and the good life given. And just so you know, the first 2 points are long, but the last one's really short. Let's get started. First off, who likes to give gifts? Anybody out there who likes to give gifts? Yeah, right? Like, it's to think really hard about what someone might enjoy, to give a little bit of yourself in that gift, and then to see someone's delight in receiving it. Feels good, right? And Acts chapter 20, verse 35 confirms it. It says, as Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we see this to be the case with God the Father in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. God the Father loves to give good gifts to his children, to us. And what we get to see with the author of Proverbs is that God gives freely. He gives graciously and with no sorrow at all. Yet we do feel sorrow, right? We feel a little weird about going on a really nice vacation. We feel guilty about buying clothes that we enjoy or having a nice dinner out with friends and family. And I think Proverbs 10:1 gives reason for why we feel this way. Verse 1 says, "A wise son or a wise child makes a glad father, but a foolish child is a sorrow to his mother." As humans, we don't want to disappoint. We don't want to let down our parents. We don't want to let down our bosses. We don't want to let down the Father in heaven. So with every house project or gift that we receive, we justify. We explain. We show how it was a wise decision for us to purchase something. But all the while we do this, it begins to cheapen the blessing that God wants to give to us. You see, sorrow in verse 22 means God adds no strenuous work to it. He doesn't add anxious toil to the gifts that he gives. He gives freely. He gives generously. So as we move forward today, we get to view wealth and money as blessings from the Father. And with these blessings, there's so much potential to worship him and to see more of who he is as we enjoy the good life now. You know, another point for the good life now is we're trying to figure out how to use our money to provide. And I don't know about you, but the increase in prices of everything, I mean, everything, it's on our minds at every turn, and it increases the pressure of providing. Yeah, we're trying to walk wisely in this stage of life. We're trying to work hard to find creative solutions to make our dollar go a little bit farther, whether that be carpooling, home gardening, trying to find the deals out there, or lifting and coasting down the hill to save the extra pennies and boost the mile per gallon up. That's me. But Proverbs 10:4 says, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." It's affirming this idea of us trying to be creative. It also says, "He who gathers in summer," in the hard times when the heat's turned up, we know what that's like right now. "He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame." And it's good to work hard at your job, be diligent in the kinds of ways that you work in order to produce stability and well-being for your family. So friends, I just want to tell you today, well done. Well done. Working hard, finding ways to make the budget work, being creative in your meal planning, well done. These are wise pursuits. And the Lord is proud of the way that you are diligently and creatively providing for yourself and those around you. This current time has forced us to be creative. But let's put this out there. It's also producing a sense of anxiousness among us. Anxiousness, forcing questions upon us. How am I going to provide? What are we going to do? You know, if you're not asking those questions right now, you know, you don't really have to ask those questions. That's okay. But maybe it's an opportunity for you to listen to others that are, to enter in, to hear how life is hard right now. Real quick, for the kids in the room, I see y'all. You know, just wondering, do you ever think about what goes into dinner being on your plate every night? You know, you come in from outside from playing, or you come back from practice, and dinner is magically right in front of you. Maybe hot dogs or pizza. Amazing vegetables, right? Did you know, crazy idea, you ready? Your parents go to work, okay? Your parents go to work. They make money as they work. And then they use that money to buy your food at the grocery store. They come back home, and they make dinner, and there it is on your plate, dinner. Isn't that awesome? Did you know that your parents do all of this because they love you? They love you. Now, adults and kids, how much more? how much more does God provide for us? You know, there's a beautiful innocence that we all had when we were kids, not knowing what went into paying the bills and dinner being put on the table, a roof being over our house, and how much more is dinner being put on the table by our God? He is providing for us. He's guiding us to work every day. He's providing people in our lives at just the right time. He is lovingly holding all things together for us. And so much more that we can't even comprehend. Our God is a great Father who loves to give good gifts. And as chapter 10, verse 3 alludes to, He does not let those in Christ Jesus go hungry. Out of our wealth, we get to provide for others. And this is just a mere reflection of the provision that God the Father has for you and for me. All right, a little bit more of point one. Proverbs 10:15 says, a rich man's wealth is his strong city. The property of the poor is their ruin. You know, for the original readers of the Proverbs, they knew the benefits of the city. How many resources were in the city, how a city and the walls made them safe, that right justice was carried out in the city. And they could all of this could be compared to the land outside of the city walls, where the land was barren, there wasn't enough resources, where there was no safety from other tribes or animals. And there was also a sense of loneliness. Y'all remember Sim City? Sim City, the video game on the computer where you're able to design the cities, you made choices that shaped the city, you got to even control the Sims, the people that were in the city. Kids, is this what Minecraft is? Kind of. You know, on Minecraft's website, they describe their platform as you can create your own world and have all kinds of adventures in it. This is what our world is doing. People are creating the cities that they desire in order to have the adventures they want, and all the while, there's no judgment that's allowed to come into their cities. But here's the question. Isn't this what our hearts do? Out of our imagination, out of our hearts, we are using the resources of today to build our own cities, our own worlds. And Proverbs 18:11 says, a rich man's wealth is his strong city and like a high wall in his imagination. The idea of putting our wealth as our only hope in life and building it up in order to be safe, it's an illusion. It's an illusion. Proverbs shows us, the book of Proverbs shows us that the what, you know, money and wealth isn't necessarily where foolishness lies, but it's rather how we approach it. And Jesus gives the perfect example with this. The parable of the rich ruler, that the rich ruler was desiring to receive eternal life. He wanted to be safe for eternity, yet was not willing to let go of his money because he thought it would make him safe, it would make him secure. And in the process, he made his name bigger than God's. It is easy to attempt to make our name big and impressive when we have an abundance of money. But we can also make our name bigger than the Lord's when we worry about the next gas tank or we worry about our next paycheck, affordable housing after grad school. We are making our name, our worry, bigger than the name of the Lord. When we worry, we forget that we are safe in the Lord's strong tower. The good life now means we follow Proverbs 18:10, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous person runs into it and is safe. Second point, we got there. Second point, the good life later. You know, I'm not exactly sure if I intentionally did this, but it's interesting how today's sermon, maybe point one is for the spender and point two is for the saver. All right, when we think about the idea of wealth, the saver is going to rejoice in this. We don't think about just having about richness now, but later. We think about the future. And the saver likes the idea of safety and security. They love the idea of being consistently diligent for these purposes. And the book of Proverbs, Saver, is on your side. All right, here's some Proverbs that are just for you. Proverbs 10:4, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 12:27, whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. The saver of the house is nudging the spender right now. See, the Bible's for me. And the saving proverb that you have heard the most is probably Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. This is a good thing. This is a good thing to go about life and leave money for your children, setting them up well, providing a college education for them. You know, this is something that you do not need to feel guilty about. It seems to be clear that with wealth and the diligence of saving, that you have the opportunity to bless those now and in the future. But I also want to say this. It's okay. It's okay if you can't do this right now, or you're not able to do this in the future. Honestly, this point might just be for me, because it's something that lives in the back of my head. It sits in the back of my head when I think about savings. I mean, not only this idea of leaving an inheritance, but the idea of cryptocurrency right now. Like, I mean, I'm honestly thinking I'm becoming the old man in the neighborhood. I might not look like it, but I feel like I'm becoming the old man in the neighborhood. Yelling at cars when they drive by fast, and also just not wanting, kind of ignoring this new idea of cryptocurrency. But at the same time, I'm a little bit afraid. A bit of fear of missing out kind of comes into my mind, starts to creep in and feed this idea of whether or not I can be wise enough to provide an inheritance to my children's children. And this is the point. This is the point where we have to hold onto the promises of God and what he has for his people. Psalm 90 shows us that God is a refuge in all generations. All generations, and from everlasting to everlasting, he will be God. And as we wonder about how to leave an inheritance, we can hear from God giving us some key questions. Him asking us, who am I? Who am I? How much do I have you in my hands? And the second question, how can we be diligent in leaving people with God's presence and his promises? Church, if we only look to money for our security later and only think about leaving a monetary inheritance, then we won't be able to pass on the things that last beyond all of our years. We get to show the value of community. We get to teach what it's like to have an intimate prayer life with the Father, the one who wants to hear from his children. We get to pass on the word of God that never runs dry. We get to give an inheritance of eternal life through Jesus, not only to our little covenant children, but to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to the unseen in our community. And how do we do this? How do we do this? You know, there's a daily prayer in ancient Israelite tradition called the Shema. And it can be found in Deuteronomy 6. Let me read it for us. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Right here, this is how. "These shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." We get to talk as we go. We get to talk about the gracious ways that God has gifted us. We use delicious food to talk about the banquets of the new heavens and new earth. We use cool clothes to talk about the robes of righteousness that Jesus covers us in. We use the blessings that God has given us to show our friends and to show our families more about who our God is. And while we focus on the present, while we go, as we go, We are getting our loved ones ready for the good life later and gifting them with a great inheritance. We just talked through the idea of inheritance and saving. But I was wondering this week, like, how else do we think about the good life later? And I believe it's this. I believe it's milestones, right? We kind of measure time with milestones. And what are the milestones that you think through for kids or for yourself? I mean, for kids, it's pretty easy. Walking, first time walking, first time riding a bike, preschool graduation, high school graduation, first job out of school. Milestones help us remember things. And also set goals for ourselves. This is something we do with money, right? We set milestones for how to get out of debt. We set milestones for how we can retire early. We set milestones for what we want to do with our next house project. There's always a good life later that we're looking forward to. And once again, in and of themselves, these things are not bad. But what I'm wondering is if we can celebrate some more milestones. What if we celebrated the moments when we recognize deep friendships that have budded and taken shape in our lives? Or we celebrate when we grasp the love of God on a deeper level that it affects even more our day-to-day life? Or we celebrate the relationships that we've developed with the city throughout serving. What I'm wondering is what if we threw parties for the milestones that draw us closer to God and to one another? In Luke 12, Jesus tells a parable of the rich fool who had such an abundance of crops that he had to figure out what he was going to do with it. What was his next milestone for his wealth? He asked, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for you for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' And Jesus says, 'So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" The man crossed off his next milestone. It was evident that he valued his retirement over being rich towards God. And he missed out on a clear way to celebrate with his neighbors, to bless his neighbors. He was pretty internally focused. You know, some of the most interesting milestones that we talk about and prepare for are retirement and dying. Just kind of sent you on a roller coaster of emotions with that one. Retirement, happy, plenty of time, dying. Why in the world would you bring up that? But don't we plan for these? We plan for both. We save up enough money to retire, and then we think about what we're going to do with our spare time. We set up life insurance policies in order to provide for family, for loved ones. But as we plan for those milestones, we can't control the rainy days that happen that push our retirement down the line. And we all know this. We can't prepare for the time that we pass from this earth. And through all of this point on the good life later, this is what we are building towards. You see, God doesn't desire to guilt you into working for your righteousness or put me in front of you today to tell you what to value or what you should teach your kids to value. It's pointing to this. Proverbs 11:4, "Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death." What happens to you when milestones of pain and sadness and despair come into your life? During the biggest of storms that come our way in life, richness and wealth, when only found in money, do not last enough or supply enough to get us through those sad, dark days. When those moments come, the Lord desires for you to have a wealth in relationships, to have a wealth of character and a wealthy and authentic relationship with Him. This is where wisdom lies. And a great inheritance, and these things will be what you want to pass on to loved ones so that they can live the good life now. You know, with all of this talk about wealth, it's been easy for us to see two things. For us to see that God is gracious, and He desires to give us good gifts for us to enjoy now and in the future. And two, we can take those gifts and we can turn them into many gods so quickly. Tim Keller says, if wisdom was all up to us, then we would labor under crushing anxiety and burnout. Brothers and sisters and friends, there is a good life that is offered to you again and again where it's not all up to you. There is a good life that can be given to you today, the good life given. Ephesians 2 says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. The good life now consists of believing in this truth and realizing that you no longer have to pursue the good life the world offers because you have been given the fullest, richest life in Jesus Christ. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal and destroy, but I come. Jesus says, I come to give you life and life to the full. This means that all of the gifts you receive on this world from the good Father point you to your ultimate gift of salvation in Jesus. And that the daily bread provision that He offers you in His perfect work is enough. And church, He adds no sorrow to it. No toil, no strenuous work on your part. It's a free gift that is offered to you. And instead of worrying about whether or not you are a foolish child, you get to rest in the truth that because of Jesus, you are a beloved son or daughter of the Most High God. But it also means that in Jesus, we know our full inheritance to come. The Apostle Paul continues in Ephesians. He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming age, He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We can know where our full security is, and on the days of wrath, when life hits hard, we know that there is a comfort for our souls. Because one, Jesus is with us during those hard times. And two, we have a resting place that is coming where there'll be no pain, no tears, no anxiousness. Oh, friends, Jesus' righteousness has delivered you from death into eternal life. How will others receive this wisdom? How will they be in awe of the rich one that gave freely? Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says, one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched. And one who waters will himself be watered. Out of the abundance of riches that we have in Jesus and how he gave freely, we get to do the same. We get to give freely. Out of the abundance of joy, we share our joy with our neighbors. Out of the abundance of security, we help others be physically and spiritually safe. Out of the abundance of heavenly riches, we give generously in order for the kingdom of God to taste good. And out of the abundance of relationship with God the Father, who adds no sorrow to it, we befriend and we add no sorrow to it. And it's God's design that as you do these things and you live it out, you will be blessed. You will be watered. So what are we going to do with all this? We love application. What are we going to do? You know, first I would just say, sit with this. Just sit with it. Think about the ways that God has been gracious and be grateful for how much He has given to you. And second, maybe you think about how to use your money as a tool to invest in relational wealth, spiritual wealth, the city's wealth, and allow your budget to reflect that. So maybe it means letting somebody look at your budget, someone that loves you, someone that loves the Lord, and let them help you with that. And lastly, church, we hold on to this. You know, as we water seeds and we build cities that benefit others, we're going to mess up. There are going to be times where we revert back to finding wealth in the ways that the world wants us to. When the Holy Spirit reveals that to you, hold tightly to the good life given. Hold tightly to the good life given, and God will show you His immeasurable riches of grace and kindness towards you in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me pray. Father God, we are grateful that You give good gifts. We are grateful that You have given us the opportunity to be here today to worship You, to be with friends, to be with family, and to be able to encourage one another in this life and talk about how it's hard, but talk about also how it's joyful. And God, we know that You have sent us the perfect gift of Jesus, and out of that we worship. Out of that we worship. We worship You this morning with our lips, and we worship You as we go, and we share the good news of Jesus with our children, with our friends, and with those that need to hear it. We love You so much. It's in Your name we pray.
Amen. Thank you for preaching for us this morning, Anderson. For your benediction, go with these words that Anderson quoted earlier from Ephesians 2. May God show you the incomparable riches of His grace expressed to us in His kindness through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might go and do the same out in this world. Amen. Go in peace.